Now it's at 9 o'clock, which means that it was supposed to be now. Did you follow that?
Yeah.
Yeah. So it was supposed to be now. And I said we'd be talking about Simcha because that is the theme of our time now, as it is already Adar, and we got a double dose of it this year. So lucky, lucky, lucky us. Mi shenichnas Adar marbim b'simcha. The barometer of Yiddishkeit is happy. Who's happy? Okay. The barometer of Yiddishkeit is happy. So that we know that the fact that we're told there's a month where we're supposed to be more happy, the premise is that if we're supposed to be more happy, that we already were happy. And if Av min atim b'simcha, and in Av, the month of Av, we are less happy, again, the premise is that our baseline is happy. Our baseline is supposed to be happy. And we're going to be talking about what Simcha is. And somebody had been speaking to me about Rav Pam, who had been the Rosh Yeshiva of Torah Vadas. I think he's gone probably about, I would say, 20 years. Rav Avram Pam. I heard an amazing story about him. So I decided that I wanted to read his sefer. And I took it. My husband found his sefer. He had his sefer. It's called Atara Lamelech, which means the crown of the king, which is just a great name for a sefer anyway. And I drove with Atara today. So thank you, Atara. What is the simcha that we're getting ready for, that we're supposed to be uplifting for? What is the Adar simcha really supposed to be about? Or what is Jewish happiness all about? And I have many, many classes on this theme, in terms of what is Jewish happiness supposed to be, because certainly we know the whole world is pursuing happiness, and we know that those who are pursuing happiness really are not usually very happy at all. So, what is the Simcha of Jews? Interestingly enough, Rav Pam takes us to one of our most serious morose, possibly Sparim, the one that was almost not included in Tanakh, which is Koheles. And he helps us understand what Jewish Simcha is based on analysis of some psukim from Koheles. And in fact, he quotes the following quote, which connects me to my favorite Purim quote. That Gemara in Shabbos says, Bikshu Chachamim lignoz Sefer Koheles. The Chachamim had wanted to put in Gniza, they had wanted to put away, they wanted had to put in Shemus that it should not be included. Because the words of Koheles are soter, they are conflicting one against the other, and therefore Lognaz nu mipnei shetchilaso divrei Torah v'sofo divrei Torah, because it begins and ends with divrei Torah, and because of this, it is included, which is just a fantastic just statement. Okay, it begins and ends in divrei Torah, so we're going to include it, even though it's full of contradictions. What are we going to do with Sefer Koheles? But I just like to connect to my opening, typically, of my Megillas Esther shiur, which if I come back, I can give that one again, because that's not the one I'm giving now, but I gave it 3 years ago because Serena showed it to me in her notes, that we're talking about the Chachamim that are putting away Sefer Koheles. I love a little history, so I'm just, for those of you who like history, it's just so fascinating to know that we have something called the biblical canon in Hebrew that's called the Tanakh, Torah, Nevi'im, Ksuvim. The Torah is obviously the five books of the Torah that were written by hand, by Moshe Rabbeinu, Mipi Hagvura. Nevi'im are the Sfarim of the Nevi'im, those are the prophets who prophesied. And the Ksuvim are the words that are not necessarily nevuah, but are words that were said with incredible, incredible divinic providence up until a certain point in history. So at what point in history was our Tanakh closed?
Right after Esther.
At the time of the building of the first Beis HaMikdash. So at the time that they're building the first Beis HaMikdash, we have something called Anshei Knesset HaGedolah, the Jews return to Eretz Yisrael, but it is very much with the cognizance that they are going to an Eretz Yisrael that will be a part of Gullus, and a long Gullus that is not going to end. They knew that that second Mikdash was not the ideal Mikdash, even virtue of the fact that it did not have the Arum Aron. Like they didn't have the holiest part of the Mikdash was not even in it. They convene Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which we know, and we grew up possibly if we were learned when we were growing up, we knew that the Anshei Knesset HaGedola put together our Siddur, right? They put together what we daven and the format of how we daven. And Bein Levein 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 Svard Ashkenaz Edut Mizrach Nusach Svard. It's pretty similar. Okay, so there's small variances, but it's pretty similar. It's all attributed to that point in time. What's lesser known, in as much as it is very important, and we do need to know that they canonized how Jews daven, the order and what goes into our tefillos, they also closed the ksuvim. So what would be included in Tanakh is now being discussed. And that's what we really just mentioned there. Bikshu chachamim ligno sefer Koheles. So at that point in time, while they're deciding what's going in and out of the Tanakh, they're deciding whether or not the Sefer of Koheles of Shlomo HaMelech goes in, which we're going to get back to in a second because I am doing a diversion, not a segue. And the diversion continues like this because Esther HaMalka, the Gemara in Megillah says about her, Shilcha Esther LaChachamim. Esther sends these same Chachamim and she says, Kizvuni Ladoros. I need to be included. So this little model of history is just pointing out that there's this group that we call the Chachamim, which are the Anshei Knesset HaGedola, which are showing up in both of these places. What are they deciding? What's going in and out of Tanakh, which is just so very, very fascinating. So Esther's book gets included, and potentially it is the last book historically to have been written to be put in. And now we're talking about the fact that when they're deciding what's going in and out, so there had been many, many things written. There had been many Nevi'im. There had been many people with Ruach HaKodesh who had written things. How are we going to decide which is being put in this Tanakh that's not going to continue it? There's no Tanakh 1, Tanakh 2, Tanakh 3, Tanakh 4. You know, we have one Tanakh and nothing else gets included afterwards. After that, it's called a Mishnah, it's called a Gemara, it's called a Sefer, it's called a Rishon, it's called an Achron, whatever it might be called. It's not Tanakh. So when it comes to Koheles, they don't want to include Koheles because it is full of stirot. It's full of contradictions. Not only does Shlomo HaMelech contradict himself between Koheles and Mishle, he actually contradicts himself within Koheles of himself. So that one of the most important things to learn, anybody here ever learn Koheles? Yeah, where? Oh, with the OU? Yeah, that's so cool. What are they up to now?
So they just started Yoshua, like, or they just finished Yoshua.
Yeah, I was in Tehillim in the middle. I'm wondering what I'm going
to
be.
I listened to your
recording. Okay, I'm wondering what I'm going to be invited back for. I just met somebody who asked me about it. She said, "You know, I listened to you for Tehillim, and I can only imagine that was one of the hardest ones to prepare, and it definitely is. Because there's no storyline. There's nothing happening, and you still have to get it into 10 minutes and have it flow. But it was a zechus to be part of it. And kol hakavod. What's your name?
Meital.
Okay, so. I hope you learned it well. Who taught? Well, there are a few people who probably taught Koheles at the time.
I don't remember exactly
who. Right. Okay. But in any event, we're going to be looking at one of the contradictions, and one of the things that when you open Koheles and you look at what the Mefarshim say, Koheles cannot be learned without Mefarshim. There is no way to read it or understand it without the clarification of Mefarshim. And here we're going to look at one particular contradiction. And obviously, going back to what we were originally talking about, we're going to be talking about Simcha. So we're going to be looking at a contradiction about Simcha. Okay. So in Ches Tesvav, so that's 8:15 of Koheles, Shlomo HaMelech says, V'shabachti ani es ha-simcha. I praise Simcha. I praise it. It's wonderful. And then in, I think it's Yod Beis Beis, I have to be honest with you, this was prepared on a plane. So my handwriting's not so legible. I think it's 12:2. L'schok amarti mehulal. To levity I said, it is ridiculous. Ulasimcha maza oseh. And what does happiness do? So these are two psukim within the same book, written by the same person. I love simcha v'shabachti ani. I'm praising the simcha. That's the first thing he says. I'm praising simcha. And the second thing he says is, levity is meholal. It is, Rashi translates it as me'orav b'shtut. It is absolutely ridiculous. And simcha, ulasimcha ma zu oseh. And what does simcha do? So do we get our question? And the obvious dira here. Just to, again, divert and not segue, one of the most famous stirots of Shlomo HaMelech is that in Koheles, he says, "Umatzasi esaisha mar mimeves." I find the woman more bitter than death. And in Mishle, he says, "Matza isha matza tov," and "Umotzei esaisha mar mimeves." And in Koheles, he says, "Matza." 1 second, let me get back. Stop recording me bumbling. And in one place, he says she's mar mimeves, and in one place, he says tov, and the bottom line is she can be either. Be the tov. Try to be the tov. So that's its own discussion. Motze umatza. Okay, so the Gemara explains, what are we talking about? How could one simcha be praised and another simcha be like blah 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 silly? So the Gemara says, Kan b'simcha shel mitzvah. One is a simcha that has to do with a mitzvah, and the other one eino simcha shel mitzvah. Lelam ducha. This is a famous, famous Gemara. She ein hashchina shora ela mitoch simcha shel dvar mitzvah. To teach you that shchina rests on a person when they are in the happiness of doing a mitzvah. I can tell you that I got up at 7:15 this morning, and with the exception of eating an apple and getting dressed and davening, I called my husband at 2 o'clock and I did absolutely nothing for myself, and I had been completely busy all day and I was on top of the world. I was absolutely joyous and I'd done a lot of different things for a lot of different people and I felt so very, 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 very happy. Okay, so he says there's a difference between, okay, if we look at our psukim, v'shabachti es ha-simcha, I praise simcha, u'l'schok amarti mehulal. And I told sechok, that's sin ches vav kuf. It is meholal. It is meurav b'shtut. It's ridiculous. So simcha is not ulesimcha mazo oseh. So the Gemar, the Vilna Gaon tells us that there is a difference between schok and simcha. Schok is stam shtus. Ridiculousness. Silliness. That's schok. The other word he uses is shigayon, which is aparte. It is absolutely wild, okay? That's shigayon. It's a simcha. One of my favorite stores in Eretz Yisrael when I used to live there for many years was the paper goods store. It was called Shigayon Shel Shulchan. It's a party of paper goods. And I have to tell you, you cannot get, just like in terms of disposable napkins, because we're getting close to Purim, the array and the choices of like different patterns on napkins in Israel, can't find it here, anywhere. Like just so many different patterns and things. Shigayon, Chosulchan. Okay, that is schok. It is just craziness. Happiness that is crazy. It is purposeless. It is ephemeral. Let's follow this pasuk again, according to Rav Pam. And how he reads it. Uleschok amarti mehulal. I told levity it is ridiculous. I told schok it is ridiculous. I told party, party, hardy, it's ridiculous. Ulesimcha mazo oseh. But what could simcha be? Simcha could do something else tremendous. It can be amazing. It could be uplifting. So we're looking for a simcha that is pure simcha and a simcha that is not sechok. It is not just meholal. It is not just me'urav b'shtut, which means mixed with shtus, ridiculousness. Okay? So that we are looking as Jews for a simcha that is not sechok. So simcha can be simcha, or simcha could be me'urav b'schok. And the example that he gives, Rav Pam gives, is theater. We might call that movies today, right? Okay, theater, movies, where simcha is me'urav b'shtus. It's ridiculousness. It's absolute ridiculousness. And he says, and that's just ridiculous simcha, okay? So that the clean comedy of yesteryear, because that certainly does not exist anymore, was just silly. But it was funny. Right? That's just me'urav b'shtus. Do we get what that is, right? We've seen The Abbott and Costello, maybe? No?
Yeah.
I Love Lucy? Anybody? Okay, it's just silly. Nobody, only you saw Abbott and Costello? Yeah. Nobody else? Abbott and Costello? No?
I'm saying like when I was younger.
Who's on first? Who's on first?
Before I was super frilled.
Oh, okay, right, okay, fine. Okay, so we like to say it was good, clean fun, right? That's what we say after becoming super firm, right? We say that's nice, clean fun, but it's really just silly fun, right? It's just silly, funny, happy. So the happy is coming from just silliness. So that kind of simcha doesn't last. And he says, but if we want to take it further, because of course we're talking about theater, most of the simcha, the word he uses of the funny of contemporary theater, which of course Rav Pam has gone 20 years, is pritzus also. So it's completely R-rated. It could be X-rated. And it is not only just silly, but it is also filthy. It is also not something that we would call refined at all. And he does not say this, but I would like to say this. There is also the simcha of the funniness, of the happiness in theater of... What's the other kind that can be really bad?
Lashon hara.
Making people feel bad, okay? Making fun of people, putting people down. That is a very typical kind of funny thing, simcha, that we watch and that we'll see. And that clearly is also even worse than just shtus, because it's an aveira. So that's obviously taking us someplace worse. And he says, and even the things they say are clean and are fine, we can't trust them. So their PG might not even be a PG. Or a not rated, because it's so clean. We'll see. And then he does say, he actually mentioned something very interesting that the Dubna Magid says. So I'm quoting directly from Rav Pam, where he says that when a person is so sad, sometimes we just need a little schok. So there is a tov to schok. There is a tov to schok is that a person's just so sad that they need just a little of just fun, funny. And that's okay. That's okay if it's not me'urav with all the other stuff. We are aware that that's shtus. That's not something that I need to do all the time. But that is okay, that there's a place for that in this world. However, he adds that for the Talmud Chacham, that's not okay. Because for the Talmud Chacham, Pikudei Hashem Yishar Misam Chelev. So that if a person has learning in their life, then there's nothing else that's really going to make them happy. Possibly that's possible, but I can tell you that I know from my own very, very, not yet very long, it should be much, much longer, I may have an Esrim Shana life, that of what I've seen very, 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 very religious people who are intensely suffering, who are watching something. Because they just need that to chill them, to make them feel better, to distract them, and that there is a place for that. But he then mentions, after saying that in the, and that why would that be allowed? He mentions the letter that the Chazon Ish wrote to a Talmud. Talmud writes into his Rebbe, the Chazon Ish, that he's sad, that he's down. And he writes back to him, Hat libcha el hasimcha. Turn your heart to becoming happy. Move your heart to be happy. Ki al yedei hasimcha hachachma shorah me'al. Because if you could be happy, you'll be wise. We know that most of the bad decisions we've made in life for ourselves were because we were down. We were sad. We just said, okay, who cares? So that is why we should, and that's why he's saying, sometimes just do a little something that's silly even to make us happy, because we need it to pick ourselves up, unless, again, we are those tremendous Talmidei Chachamim who only learning picks them up. Okay, so that is a reality. And again, that's probably the idealist reality, but that we're quoting, again, the Dubna Magid, Rav Pam, in this point, that we're human. And if we're sad, we need to do what we need to do to pick ourselves up. And sometimes something a little funny, silly is okay, because I need to get out of sadness. And I've said this before, and I'll say it again. Rav Alba says clearly, I don't have the board in here. I have the Torah. Right? That is a Torah behind him.
Yeah.
I think so. Rav Alba says, Atzvos leads to Atzlos, which leads to Yeyosh. Sadness leads to laziness, which leads to despair. So that my immediate reaction when a sad thing happens is to be sad. But what I'm not supposed to do as a Jew is sink in it, is wallow in it, is fall in it. So hat libcha el hasimcha, because turn to simcha, ki al yedei hasimcha hachachma shora me'al, because it's, oh, you're only going to be wise when you're happy. So you need to figure out how to make happy happen. And we hope that we really are such people that just being involved in chesed can bring us simcha, because that is one of the greatest diversions to the sadness, Yetzirah, is just doing good things for other people. Like I said to you, I called my husband at like 1:30 today, and I had just been doing things for other people since 7:15 in the morning, and I just felt like I was on top of the world. Like, I just felt so good. So that is a much better than schok kind of diversion to make ourselves happy, is to do for others. And that's a very, very encouraged one by Judaism, that we should do for others. And if not that, we need to know actively, and we have responsibility to ourselves to know how to pick ourselves up, and hat libcha el hasimcha, and to be at a place where we can possibly reach for simcha, and reach for a true simcha, which is not the simcha of hololos, which we're going to get into in a second as to why that really doesn't work. And I've said it before, and I will say it again. As respectable religious Jewish women, we want to look for things that will make us happy that are religiously responsible, fiscally responsible, and physically responsible. So that in that definition, that means the things that are fiscally responsible. Anybody other than Serena want to define that?
Mommy.
I know, but anybody else? What would be like, I'm sad, so I want to be fiscally responsible? I know she wants to say, there's nobody else who can talk here. Thank you. What's your name?
Devorah.
What?
Trying.
Okay, yes, that's right.
I mean, I guess if someone's sad, they could just like go buy something. I think they'll make them feel better, but that's not necessarily
bad. Right, okay, so you can retail therapy works, but you don't want to buy everything. Right, so you want to be fiscally, and you want to be physically responsible, so that I want to take care of myself, not do something that my body is going to regret. So eat the whole pint of ice cream, get drunk. Any of those kinds of things would be called physically responsible. I want to know that I know what can lift me up in life. And being a religious person and being fiscally responsible and being physically responsible, there are still plenty of things in our beautiful world that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave us to make us happy. And part of our responsibility to ourselves is to know what they are, so that we can tap into them. If it's painting, if it's drawing, if it's biking, if it's reaching out to a friend, which it should be for everybody, and exercise should be for everybody too. Hatzlacha. The simcha of the mitzvah has no schok. It is pure, unadulterated simcha. We know how happy we are when we do good. And I wrote there on this plane that I was on, You never want to do something to make you happy that you will regret doing. So anything that you're doing to make yourself happy that you will regret doing, which follows what I just said earlier, is not true happiness because it's going to make you unhappy tomorrow. So that's an obvious factor, but it's not always so obvious. We have to think about it, right? So my teacher, Rebbetzin, Mrs. Rina Tarshish, says that she thinks dieting has become so popular in the world because it's such a good mashal for Avodas Hashem, but it really is, right? So if I eat the whole cake because I say I just don't care, I eat the whole cake, or even just half of it, I will be upset about it tomorrow. But if I eat a piece of cake because it's going to make me feel better, I really might not be upset about it tomorrow because I had a piece and it made me feel better. So that in Avodas Hashem, I need to know, what am I doing to make me happy that will be something that I will be happy that I did even tomorrow, which I always also say talks about what a good friend might be. So Daga Balev Ish Yasichena, you feel sad, you need a friend. A good friend is the kind of person who will only get you to do things to make you happy that you will not regret doing tomorrow. That is a good friend. A good friend wants you to do things that will make you happy always, so not just today, but also tomorrow. And that is what Rav Tam is going to write about next. So I write, wow, because I wrote that in my notes, and then I continue reading on in Rav Tam. And he gives a fantastic example from the Sefer Malachim, talking about one of the greatest parties ever in the history of the Jewish people. We are not talking about the party of Ahasuerus, because that was not a Jewish party. It was Ahasuerus' party. One of the greatest parties in the history of Jewish people, possibly the greatest party in the history of the Jewish people. Anyone want to guess? Yes, it is the Chanukas HaMikdash of Shlomo HaMelech. It is the seven-day party. It was the Sheva Brachos of celebrating the fact that Shlomo's Beis HaMikdash had been built. Ashrei mi shera'a. And it says about the end of this celebration, Malachim Aleph Ches, Samach Vav, Vayelchu le'ohaleihem, and they went to their tents, Smeichim v'tov lev, happy and of good heart, Al kol ha'tova asher asa Hashem l'David avdo v'Yisrael amo, for all the good that Hashem had done for David, his servant, and for Klal Yisrael. Okay, so this is what the pasuk tells us at the end of the party. Everybody goes home, they are happy and have happy hearts. And why are they happy? Al kol ha'tova asher asa Hashem l'David, for all the good that Hashem did for David and for Klal Yisrael, which is, by the way, another diversion that is not a segue. Why we say, Ba'avor David avdecha al tashay p'nei Mashiachecha. Mashiach is going to come for David. Why? What's David? Why are they celebrating the Beis HaMikdash? Are they celebrating David? Who built the Mikdash? Shlomo. Whose blood and guts built the Mikdash? David, right? Who fought for it? Who fought for the land? Who fought for everything that went into it? Who fought the wars? Whose hands were too bloody because he fought for it? That Hashem said he couldn't build the Mikdash. And Rav Huttner says that lesson, which is such a relevant lesson, even if it is a diversion right now, is such a beautiful lesson for all those who are waiting and waiting and waiting for Mashiach to come and don't know if they'll bring it. That it's still going to come. When Mashiach comes for us, it's really coming for our grandparents and our great-grandparents and our great-great-grandparents who cried and lived and davened for it. Back to our shir. They just partied for 7 days and they go home and they're still very, very happy. The Gemara Moed Katan says, what is this simcha? The simcha that they had there was minenim miziv hashchina. They are basking in the holy glory of a mikdash, of a beis hamikdash, of shchina, of menorah, of urim b'tumim, of ketores. That's their happiness. But we said it was a 7-day party, and the Navi describes what kind of food there was and the dancing. You know, anyone who's been at a Siyam and heard what is recited before a Siyam is celebrated, we can hear those beautiful words of the Gemara, Anu Ratzin V'Hein Ratzin. We run and they run. I think we party and they party. So food and drink is a Jewish party. And food and drink is the wildest and the most perverse of a non-Jewish party. And they are going home happy after a 7-day party of food and drink. Says Rav Pam, because if they went to a party that was a party of just food and drink and nothing else, they would not have still been happy when they got home. Isn't that fantastic? At 9:35 at night, if our brains can still get that fantastic statement, I think it is fantastic. Okay, so that the pasuk says they went home and they were happy for all the good that Hashem did for David and for Klal Yisrael. So that statement of the Navi that's telling us that they went home and they were happy tells us the mitzios of that party. That was a party that the Gemara tells us in Moed Katan, Nehenu Miziv HaShchina. It had to be that it was a celestial party. It had to be a party of Shechina. It had to be a party of something holy, because had it not been holy, they never would still have been happy. Isn't that great? I think it's amazing. It's an amazing thought. It's an amazing thought that when we say we have a simcha, what is a simcha in Klal Yisrael? What are simchas that we go to?
A chasna.
Thank you.
A siyam.
What else? Somebody else, please. We have other voices.
A bar mitzvah. A sheva brachos.
A bris. Okay, but what's the common thread in all of these things that we are celebrating? All these simchos are mitzvos. All these simchos are mitzvos. And even though there's food and drink, what happens when we go to a wedding of somebody that we love? Do we take it home with us? I hope for none of you that will ever have to be in the workforce where you have to go to a non-Jewish party. It's not going to take you home happy. It's not going to keep the happiness. You know, right? If you've had a sibling who's gotten married, you've had a cousin who's gotten married, a friend who's gotten married, and you've been so happy, does the happiness just stay at the wedding? No. What about somebody who came back from Eretz Yisrael? Right? How long does that last? Why? Because that's a simcha of a mitzvah. You take it with you. It keeps going. It can keep going. That is, by the way, what was our question? What are we trying to get to in Adar? That kind of simcha. Marbim b'simcha. We are looking for a simcha that's a simcha that keeps going, that's a simcha that lasts, that's a simcha that's continuous. Rav Pam, by the way, when you're done with me, just find a picture of Rav Pam on your phone. You will never see a picture of Rav Pam where he's not smiling. He was always smiling. There was always the happiness. It was always so besimcha. And any person who you know a person who really, really is living a Torah life constantly, a happy person. There's a happiness. There's a simcha in that. Ein hashchina shruya ela b'dvar mitzvah. Shechina is only there in a happiness. The simcha comes from nehenim miziv ha-shechina, that I have a happiness from the fact that my simcha, and he doesn't say this, but I'm saying this, has food and dancing. And the food might be delicious. And the dancing might be amazing and happy and gleeful and possibly even wild. But if it is a ruhani experience, then the food and the dancing is uplifted because it is ruhani, because it is spiritual. This is why we're told on our Shabbos Kodesh, what are we supposed to do? Liz anig besanugim. Enjoy the good food. I don't know what barburim are. Anyone know? Barburim uslav vidagim. I know that dagim is fish.
These guys.
What are barburim?
These guys.
Why, you had motions for it?
Yeah.
For the zemer and what camp?
Not sure.
So what are barburim? They're chicken?
Barburim uslav vidagim.
I don't know. Well, slav is also a bird, right? Because slav are the birds. Oh, so what's barburim? Yeah. I don't know.
There
okay.
Things that go like this.
So they must also be a bird. I don't know.
That's
okay.
Amazing.
Anyway.
Every Shabbos they get, right?
Oh, that's so... Yeah. Okay. Great. So you learned something there. Yes.
Many things.
My father, Zichron Levracha, we would sing that one, that zemer, at our house, and I'm the oldest of four daughters. It talks about all the different things that you can do and you can't do on Shabbos in terms of enjoying it. At one point, it says, Ulisha de Chabanos, and he would bang on the table whenever we got to up the Ulisha de Chabanos. Talk about getting people married on Shabbos. Okay. So that is Simcha. It is the Simcha of a Ruchani experience. And if it is a Ruchani experience, it will last. I'm still flying. Everyone remembers the start of COVID. One of the greatest simchas in America in many, many years happened right before COVID. Was anybody there?
Siyum Hashas.
It was the Siyum Hashas, right? That simcha was like, whoa, right? Flying.
I'm still in a high from it.
Thank you.
Sometimes
what are we going to do next year? Who's not graduating this year? Who's not graduating this year? Okay, so we're going to need somebody else next year. So start thinking who's going to be. What are we going to do without you?
It depends if I pass calc too.
Okay, thank you. Baruch Hashem, but Baruch Hashem. So think about what that simcha is. It's a happiness. You can't buy Jewish happiness. You can't buy Jewish happiness. Jewish happiness comes from the feeling of the experience and not the thing. The thing, whatever that thing might be, there are some very expensive things. Doesn't last. My husband loves to tell the story of how he meets very often with different tzedakah collectors. They come to our shul because we have a central account in our shul where people give the money to the shul, and then my husband's like the gabbai tzedakah for the shul. And he gets to meet with all these different Rosh Yeshiva from Eretz Yisrael, and they love coming to him because he schmoozes with them and talks Torah with them, and he always gets tons of stories from them. So he has a particular person that a Rav that he meets with very often. His name is Rav Lipa Yisraelson, who's a grandson of Rav Elyashiv, and grew up in the building of Rav Steinman. And he says that he tells over how he once was walking home, because he grew up in the building of Rav Steinman, and he met Rav Steinman in the hallway, and he said, can you come to my apartment? And so Rav Steinman brought him to his apartment, and he showed him, Lipa, look, I have a refrigerator. And then he showed him, and he said, and he took him, I was in Rav Steinman's apartment. Okay, there were wires on the walls, like the paint was peeling. Lipa, look, I have a bed. They say that Rav Steinman was in Switzerland during the war and then came to Eretz Yisrael. They said when you got to Eretz Yisrael and you got an apartment, the Jewish agency gave you mattresses. They say that he and his wife slept on the same mattresses they got from the Jewish agency when they moved into Eretz Yisrael for the rest of their marriage. And I met Rav Steinman. She was one firecracker of a lady. And I never met a gadol in Eretz Yisrael. I met a lot of gadol in Eretz Yisrael who had like quiet, demure rebbetzins. Not one. Anyway, that's a different discussion. Also, so he's taking him through his apartment. He's showing him, and I have food in my refrigerator, and I have a table, and I have svarim. And he said to him, this Rav Lippa was about to go to Eretz America to raise money. I will give you $1 million for Rav Steinman to say that if you find one person in America who is happier than me. Now, obviously, he was going to America. He's going to meet a lot of very rich people. He said, I will give you $1 million if you meet one person in America who is happier than me. Because the simcha is not things. It's not things. I have to mention here, and it's very important to realize also, meaning there is a simcha of Dvar Mitzvah. There's also a tremendous simcha from loving and being loved. And I think that ahava is very much connected to simcha. That a person who has ahava in their life, who is loved and can be loved and can give love, is a person who can feel simcha because it is, my heart is open to spiritual connections with another person. Because true love, we know, right? The real ahava, eina tluya badavar, is not dependent on anything. It's dependent on a spiritual connection of my just complete connection to you and your complete connection to me, that when you try to break it down, is not dependent on things. And that's why ahava and simcha are so very much connected. The simcha of Purim is the simcha in the faith that Hashem saved us from Haman and can save us again b'mheira. That is the simcha of Purim. The simcha of Purim at the time was also kimu v'kiblu, that they re-accepted the Torah, and that the Torah is celebrated again is the simcha of Purim. It is the simcha of knowing that HaKadosh Baruch Hu can turn it all around in an instant. Instantaneously, and the love that we have for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. That is the simcha of Purim. So then he says, let's talk about what really happens on Purim. And he says, as Gemara says in Sanhedrin, that anyone who makes light of Torah, mevi takala la'olam, is destroying the world. So what is the simcha of Purim supposed to be? He says it should never be silly and it should never be just kalas rosh, just losing your marbles, losing your head. It is a special chachma to be able to make laughter without bizayon. I don't know if, does Stern have a Purim spiel? Any Purim plays? You should. Why not? No Purim party? Before pre-Purim? No, oh well. Why not? You're looking at me like I'm crazy. This is being recorded.
Where should we put the video?
I don't know. It would be fun to make a Purim something. I think so. Okay, just think about it. Fine. It is a special chachma to make simcha without bizayon. You must be careful, chas v'shalom, bizayon of Torah or people. And he then says that Rav Baruch Ber Leibovich used to say beautiful gramen on Purim. And then he recalls that in Torah Vadas there was a bacher who did a beautiful gramen about how all, what will be in one day when Mashiach comes, what will be with the world, what will be when there's a Beis HaMikdash, what will be when Klal Yisrael reigns supreme. And he says everybody was laughing and crying at the same time because it was hysterical and he made it funny. But at the same time, it was absolutely uplifting. And that is what we're looking to do. And he quotes the Chafetz Chaim, who says the following. Haksil oseh mizahav afer. Afar. This is not a pasuk. This is the words of the Chafetz Chaim. the fool makes from zahav afar, which is dirt. V'hachacham osame afar zahav. And the wise person makes from dirt gold. So that a fool can even take something holy and beautiful and absolutely destroy it. And a wise person can take a hard situation and make it beautiful. I'll just say it again in Hebrew because it's beautiful in Hebrew. And he's quoting the Chafetz Chaim in Margala de Pumia. Haksil osemi zahav afar, v'hachacham osemi afar zahav. That's a beautiful take-home quote for anybody who would like to take home a quote, because it really is a fabulous quote. That is our avodah. To make from afar, hopefully we don't have afar in our lives, hopefully we have a little more than that. And to make it golden, to make it beautiful, to make it happy. Purim's experience should uplift us in its simcha, and chas v'shalom, never be shameful. That should be the Purim experience. The Purim experience should be the simcha again of connecting to something that is true, joy, which is the joy of being part of B'nai Yisrael. Because Anu Amelim V'Heim Amelim, Anu Ratzim V'Heim Ratzim. We run and they run. We work hard on things and they work hard on things. We party and they party. And it's a very different kind of party when you come to a true party of simcha, especially on Purim. He closes his piece by quoting the Gemara in Erevim. It says, "Vishlosha dvarim adam nikar." You can recognize a person by three things: kiso, kaso, and koso. How he spends his money, what they're like when they get angry. Oh, I'm going out of order. Kiso is how his pocket, what he's like when he spends his money. Koso is what he's like when he's drunk, or she's like. Picasso and what she's like when she's angry. These are three litmus tests that tells you what a person is really like. Ever seen a tzaddik drunk on Purim? You'll know. Ever seen somebody who you thought was really nice and wonderful get angry at their sibling or their parent? You might know. You've ever been somewhere where somebody has asked for tzedakah and seen somebody who refused to give? You'll know. What kind of person is this? And he says, v'ulai af bischoko. And maybe you will also know what a person is like by what makes them glad. What makes you happy defines you. Let's hope that we are defined by the simcha of the Yidden who will be alive, and hopefully it will be us when Mashiach comes, who will proudly stand before the Goyim who are saying, Higdil Hashem laso simela, why is Hashem doing such amazing things for you? It's one of my favorite Divrei Torah. I heard it from Rabbi Yisrael Besser, who heard it from Rabbi Meilich Biederman. And I love this part, and I say it as often as I can. They're going to say, Higdil Hashem laso simela, why did Hashem do such great things with these people? We can't even imagine the miracles of Mashiach's coming. They even said it a little bit after the Six-Day War. Just the miracles Hashem did for the Jewish people. It will be like a million times more than that when Mashiach comes. And you know what we're going to say to them? Higdil Hashem laso simela. You know why Hashem did great things for us? Higdil Hashem laso simela. Hayinu smechem. Because we were happy. We were happy. We were stubborn about it. We just kept being happy, and that's what makes us Klal Yisrael. That's what makes us amazing. That we take hard situations and we make them gold. That we're able to find the meaning and the purpose, and when we find meaning and purpose, we can be happy. The happiness of Yiddishkeit is meaning and purpose. the happiness of the world around us is ephemeral, it is expensive, it is humiliating, it is dumb. That doesn't last. But the Hayinu Semechim, the happiness of Klal Yisrael, should bring us Limos HaMashiach B'mherav Yameinu. I might be back again before Purim. We'll see what happens. But if not, have an uplifting Purim, Emirat Hashem, only Simchas, and do what the best you can to connect to that real Simcha and bring it to others. Because the best part of Simcha is sharing it with other people. So good night, good night. Happy Tuesday. Yom Shlishi. Ki Tov, Ki Tov. Thanks so much. Thank you. Thank you.